Blog Talk Radio.
So I say expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, his covenant's not in vain. Once his promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. Covenant Cafe, come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians, listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And I would like to say welcome back, everyone. In my land right now, it's raining. I don't know what it's doing in your land. It may be snowing. It may be sleeting. Is it sunny where you're at right now? Well, not right now.
Well, it's cool. You know, chill. It's good, you know. It ain't raining. It ain't hot. I'm good.
Oh, ain't raining, ain't hot. It's just in between.
I guess you could say that.
That is good. So, what's been happening?
You know, I miss y'all. I do. Every time when we don't go live, I just feel like, oh, man, like, dang. I miss y'all.
Man, we definitely, wow. Got stuff going on in the room. Wow. Hey, everyone. This is our show after the debate, the debacle of a debate that we, the nation, had a chance to see and hear last week. Very interesting. And, I like to say that, you know, I'm not going to get into that right now because it's going to be, hey, I got to touch that when it's time, when it's
yes.
time. But we're going to open up with our scripture and then we're going to go into the rest of the show.
All right. So today the Lord had been, not just today, but during the course of this week, the Lord has been really touching my heart, dealing with relationships. Marriage and stuff like that. So today when I asked the Lord, what do you want me to share with the people, he took me to 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2, and 7 and 8. And I know this is going to do some great for somebody. The scripture reads, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." So, you know, Peter's saying right here, he's telling, you know, wives, you know, to, you know, be submissive, to honor your husband, to respect your husband. And even if you, and this is in particular for wives that are married to men who their men do not believe, or they do not follow the faith, or they just say they're saved, but their actions ain't showing it, nor are they going to church or any of that. He's saying you don't force it upon them, you don't nag them, you don't beat them, but basically you win them over to Christ by your submission, by you honoring him on, like you would honor God, by your, how, like your beautiful spirit towards him, like you cook and you clean and you have a good attitude. You're walking by the faith that Christ has taught us to walk by. By you doing this, it's going to rub off on him, or he's going to see this. He's going to want his spirit, his soul is going to be curious about this God you serve, because this God that you serve is causing you to act in such a great way. All right, so, but husbands, you're not off the hook. Following scripture in 7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them in understanding, giving honor to your wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So, you know, husbands, you know, honor your wives, have understanding, be patient with them, listen to them, talk to them. Though, like the scripture saying, where ladies don't get offended, but though it's saying weaker vessels, like in a sense, like I'm the head, so I'm leading you. But I'm not leading you in a sense that I'm going to walk all over you and tear you up and treat you wrong. No, husbands, more so honor your wives, be understanding to them, love them, knowing that if you so busy, you doing everything, you the man everywhere else, but you got an unhappy wife because you're not taking care of her. You're not treating her right. Your prayers are being hindered. That's what the Bible just said, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, for everybody right now, verse 8 and 9 says, finally, all of you be one-minded, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessings, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So husband, wife, single, girlfriend, boyfriend, everybody, doesn't matter, everybody, this is what we have to walk by as far as since we have to be compassionate for one another, showing love, tenderhearted, be courteous, respect, honor your fellow brother. Somebody does evil to you, you don't go back and do evil. Somebody curse you out, you don't curse them back out.
Yeah.
Speak gentle words to them. We're not in the season or in a lifestyle of retaliation. More so, somebody give you a knife, you know, you got to give them love. Somebody give you some pain, you give them love. Respect and honor. This is how we have to live. And you see how this would strengthen a marriage, would strengthen a relationship between man and wife, between boy and girl, man and man. I ain't talking about man and man relationship like gay. I'm talking about like friendships, business relationships. All these kind of relationships shall be strengthened when you show that kind of respect, you show that kind of honor, when you show that kind of unity. We have to come together and show the love of Christ. This is how we have to walk. Because otherwise, we're going to be walking all over each other. And ain't going to be no peace. It's going to be warfare constantly.
Constantly, consistently, on a regular basis, all those terms, constantly, all the time, regular basis.
Yeah.
Those things. Yeah, man, I miss you guys.
You know, like lately, because it's so crazy, man, I've been hearing, like, a lot of people been hitting me up, and they've been talking about, like, asking, like, relationship questions, things of that nature. And what I'm finding out, the issue is submission. Whether it be man and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend, or even if it's, like, some kind of business relationship, because nobody wants to submit. Nobody wants to compromise. None of that. Nobody wants to do that when it comes to their significant other or their partner in crime. When I say crime, they know that's a metaphor, because y'all get big-headed quick. But the main issue that I'm seeing is submission. Like, say if there's a husband, he's at the head, and he's saying, you know, I don't want you to go do this in the third. And the wife, she's more on some, shoot, I do what I please, da-da-da-da. That, what kind of unity is that in your marriage? Or how can you say you want to be, or fellas, how can you say that you're pissed at your woman because she goes here and there, but you sleeping around with all these different girls, and you want her to be faithful? What kind of submission or unity is that? Or even in a business trip, you only worried about money and you worried about gain. Why are you mad when you do a business and the business tip that you're trying to work out, the relationship or the deal that you're trying to work out, it's all to pimp you. But you've been pimping people for so long. You know, what kind of unity, what do you expect? You're going to reap what you sow. So we have to learn how to start operating in the sense of unity, of love and respect and honor. Because, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. So if you sowing this kind of stuff into your relationship, whatever kind of relationship it is, you're going to reap it. And the God we serve, he always gives us more than what we deserve. It's like, Because, you know, us being sinners and we being reborn, like, I deserve death, yet still he's giving me life, giving me joy, a joy even when times are bad. And when you serving him and you're doing unto others as to him, it's like, you know, you might think you deserve, like, okay, it's like, say I gave a homeless person $10 the other day. I messed around and found $100 the next day as I was walking on the ground. I'm like, dang, I ain't deserve this. I only gave bread yesterday, 10 cash. You give me 100 back for my troubles? I'm just saying, we reap what we sow.
Exactly. You know what's funny?
Mm-hmm.
This is so totally different than what I was, what you're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
There was a situation here in Virginia yesterday where there was a tow truck hijacked on the highway, broad daylight, and it was a big cluster. It caused a huge traffic jam. And it's so funny because I read it yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and today I can't find it.
Mm.
So I'm thinking that it was more to that story than what they was talking about yesterday.
Mm.
Wow. I'm sorry. That was a ladies and gentlemen, basically what I was doing was trying to find some more stories to talk about, tell you guys. And I was going to tell you guys about this interesting situation that happened here in Virginia. And I was going to elaborate on it, but I can't find it. So I'm thinking it was a government situation, and they took it off the wire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was pretty interesting, and I can't find it now. And yesterday, all I did was type in truck driver hijack in Virginia, and it came up yesterday. This was just yesterday, and I'm trying to find it. I'm typing in the exact same thing, and it's not coming up. So, government, what are you hiding? What actually happened? Obama.
They come get you. They come at your house right now.
I better be careful. Let me show you what we hide. I just think that was interesting. But I guess I can't tell you about it. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. That's the tag one now. I can't tell you. It's like, it's sort of like Men in Black when they flash you that thing.
You know. It neuralized the internet, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So people are like, man, what are you talking about? I'm like, it was right here. No, sure. Mm-hmm. I was doing it again. Oh, yeah. But back to the subject at hand, ladies and gentlemen, what this gentleman had just read to you, and this, you have to definitely analyze your situation, your particular relationship with your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, fiance, whatever it may be. Look at it very closely. So let's say that you are engaged to someone that behaviors are questionable while you're engaged.
Mm.
Let's say that's not going to change
mm.
because you get married. Now, some people say that, well, women like to change men.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I'm not trying to be, what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to be, what do you call it? I can't think of the word I'm trying to say. But, look, chauvinistic, yeah, male chauvinistic. What I'm trying to say is this. 9 times out of 10, a woman actually tries to change the man as opposed to the man trying to change the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because the man, like, okay, well, this is what I like. This is who she is. This is who I'm accepting.
Right, true.
Most cases, I'm not saying 100%, most cases. Most women, you hear about most women trying to say, you know, that they try to change the man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that don't work. You know, sometimes it doesn't work. You know,
mm-hmm.
if that guy is a person who always drinks,
mm-hmm.
guess what? He's not gonna stopped because he got married.
Mm.
It may change the situation. I'm going to tell you what. He may appear to slow down because he may be silent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the submissive thing is on point. I think it's very important that you also be attuned to your relationship. So you know that what's going on.
Yeah.
Because I've been off the scene for, I've been married 10 years. I've been with the same person about 13, 14 years. So I'm off the scene for quite some, I've been removed from the scene quite some time now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when I was dating my wife, I was, you know, in tune to what her surroundings were.
Yes.
I knew what I was getting into. I knew that certain things weren't going to change. Not speaking negatively.
Yeah.
I knew certain things that she was doing that I know that probably weren't going to change. I'm not in the business to, I wasn't in the business to find someone who I have to change.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the business of finding someone who I'm compatible with.
Amen.
And I think that's important because if you're in the business, I want a man like this, 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 and this, and that, and then you find somebody, they're not that, then you try to make them conform to what you want to conform to, it's not going to happen.
Right.
I mean, okay, over time, yes, but it's going to take you a lot of prayer. It depends on what, you know what I mean? It's going to take because, you know, my grandfather, when my grandfather's grandmother got married, he was actually, he drank a whole lot. So it got to a point where he was actually hiding stuff around the house.
Mm.
You know, you go downstairs in the basement and there'd be stuff in the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it was just like, it was at the point where she just got tired of it and was like, okay, I don't see it. I know it exists, but it's almost like, I know it exists, but I don't see it. I just have to deal with it.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, you have to be willing, they were married over 50 years. You have to be willing to deal with situations if you can't change it.
Mm. And the piggybacking off of what you're saying, too, I totally agree about, you know, how you were saying you were dating her before you got married. I feel like a lot of relationships nowadays, there's no patience involved. And that patience is far, like, you know, people rushing to get married and they rush to get divorced quick. And I think that courting process is very necessary. It's very, very necessary going into marriage because it's true. And, like, because you can meet your soulmate and be like, okay, this is the one. But before you get married, you still got to learn who is this one that you like. Like you said, there's some things about a person like you're not going to change. They're not going to change. This is what it is. And there's some things about a person like, okay, in due time that you'll rub off on them, they'll rub off on you. There's some characteristics about you you don't even know because a lot of us think that we got it all together. But true enough, let somebody live with you long enough, they'll find your flaws. And it's like everybody can, like, I know, like, there's some people who can deal with roaches. There's some people who can't because they never was brought up in it, right? Now, this is a very harsh example, but I'm just saying. So let's say you live in a projects, whatever, right? But you're a great guy and everything, you know, you're cool. But the thing about it is you're used to dealing, making do with what you have. And then you meet a female, she's bad and everything, and you guys are cool and everything. Everything is cool. But the thing is, she's from the suburbs, and she's really, really, really bougie. Really bougie, and this is what it is. So then you bring her to your neck of the woods. Like, mind you, say you never brought her to your neck of the woods. You never did any of that. Y'all get married, blah, blah, blah. So, and then y'all got married quick. Then y'all go, you start to bring her to your neck of the woods, and then she starts to see the type of people that you like to hang with. The atmosphere that you're in, the stuff that you're used to, the stuff that you don't mind, all this and that. And then you see a 360 in her, like she's not feeling that. And a whole bunch of little things have added up to be really, really big to her. Now there's always a problem in your relationship. And then the same thing with her, she brings you around her people, and it's the same thing vice versa. So you got all these little things that add up to be really big, but you could have swore she was the one. The issue is that there was no courting in between time. You didn't even give her a chance, nor did she give you a chance to learn, okay, wait, this is what she likes, this is what she deal with. can you put up with this forever, or for the rest of your life, for the rest of y'all lives? Because this, in my mindset, we get married, this death do its part. Ain't no prenups, ain't none of that. When I die, then we depart. Because you're the woman that I'm going to be with. So can I deal with this for the rest of my life? Because to be with somebody else is adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you have to, and it's so crucial. Like, that's why I say courting is so important. That little bit, that time before marriage, that learning who she is, she learning who you are, intimacy. And I'm talking about, I'm saying no sex, learning, love, making love to her soul,
mm-hmm.
learning her personality. Who is this person? Her ups, her downs, her flaws. Vice versa for women, too. That's so crucial. Because if you remove that out the equation, you can get married to the one and it'd be premature. And it don't work out. And you get back married 20 years later. Because y'all courted during y'all divorce. Like, it's crazy. It's madness. Patience. We got to be like an oven instead of a microwave. An oven bakes real slow, but it cooks slower, but it stores up that nutrients. Ain't nothing like a home-cooked meal. But everybody wants the microwave dinners, which is processed with chemicals, and it cooks in 2 minutes. Then you know you're not going to be full, nor will you get the nutrition that you need. We got to have an oven mindset.
You know what? This almost turned into our relationship schooling, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm.
But, I mean, like, you know, there's some things, like I said, you just have to be in tune with the person. That's the bottom line. And all relationship, I don't care if you've been together 1 month, 10 years, 50, every day is a different day. Every
mm-hmm.
day there's adjusting. Every day there's going to be a situation where you're going to have to compromise one way or the other.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's not all about self. It's what I want, or it's all about what that person wants. It's all about, it should be about what you both want together.
Right.
There are times where you go, look, yes, I would like to go see this movie. You know what I mean? It's not always going to be like, oh, let's go see this, you know, together. You know, there's a lot of chick flicks that I don't like, but at the same time, I do make a sacrifice and say, hey, man, you know what? I'll go see it. And sometimes I end up saying, oh, you know what? That was pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, there's
yeah.
a lot of Tyler Perry. Okay, I'm not slamming. But there's a lot of his movies that I don't like, and there's a lot of movies that I went to go see that he done with my wife, and I end up saying, okay, you know what? This was okay. You know what I mean? So, at the same time, you know, she wasn't into going to see Batman, you know, Dark Knight Rises. But when she went to go see it, she was like, oh, this is all right. You know what I mean? So that's where the compromise come in at. You got to kind of give, you know, you're not always in a relationship, regardless if you're married or not. And it shouldn't be always, I'm going to take. You have to give. Some sort.
Yeah.
You know, you have to give some sort. You know what? So what I want to do is I want to go into a song, and then when we come back, we're going to get into some current events and some weird news. Oh, man, ladies and gentlemen, there is some crazy situations going on here in America.
Definitely.
So we'll be right back after I play. This is a song that I should have said a long time ago, I said I wanted to play this every time I come on the show. There's a couple songs that I want to do that to. But however, this is one that I said in the beginning when we heard it. I said, hey, man, you know what? We need to be playing this all the time. And this is that Al Green, it's an inspirational song, Everything is Going to Be All Right.
Oh, yeah, this song dope.
Yes, here. On the Covenant Cafe, your host Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
That was Al Green. Everything's going to be all right. We're going to actually go to the phone lines. We have a caller. Caller, line one, you're on the air. This is Covenant Cafe.
Covenant Cafe, this is John Mark Anthony from Birmingham, Alabama.
Well, welcome.
What's up?
What's going on? What's going on, gentlemen?
How's it going?
It's all right. Everything is all well, man. A little cold down here, but things are good. Things are good.
We have to give you a recession-proof gift before Poetic starts the interview, okay? This is our recession-proof gift.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, much appreciated. Much appreciated. Yeah, no,
man,
great indeed. Go ahead.
Man, what's good with you?
Oh, man, all is well, man. Just riding away with a Jesus surfboard. Can't do no better than that.
Man, I feel you. So before we even start, I do got to say, when I got the email that you was coming, you was going to be in the building, I was like, oh, he got three first names.
Yes, sir. Three first names, man. It's a crazy story behind that, man. That those names, I tell him, ask me, he said, well, why you use those names? And I tell him, I said, the reason why I use those names is because those were the names that they had to pull out the air and get. My last name is Bibbs. And God told my parents to name me John, and I would have the spirit of John the Baptist. And
gotcha.
My mom and my dad wanted to be a part together, so my dad created Mark Anthony. So he had a John Mark Anthony. So my stage name is John Mark Anthony because those are the names that God himself had to pull out the air to get that. Bibbs, I was birthed into, but John Mark Anthony had to pull out, so I use all three names. That's why I use them. So, yeah.
Oh, that's what's up. All right, you know, we got understanding.
Yeah. Those are all my names. That's not made up. That's real name right there. Yes, sir.
That's
you know.
What's up. So we're gonna go ahead and get to the nitty gritty.
Okay.
All right. Just start off, cause this is how I'm always am. All right. I'm from an urban community. You know, that's nice for ghetto, hood, whatever they want to call it, but it's a nice way of saying it. So with that being said, I'm used to dealing with a lot of people who don't have a reason to say, I need to hold on to God. Straight up. This is what they're saying because they're looking at their community. They're looking at the pavement. And they're looking at how they don't get any money. With you being an artist on the rise, this is what we want to know. What is your story? What is your testimony? Why should we hold on to God? What has God done for you that he can do for me?
That's it, man. That's a great question. I was talking to my father one time, and we were having a discussion, and I was talking to him about there was some people saying that, you know, there's no heaven, there's no hell, and there's no reason for that. He's like, man, you know, they feel like it's just nothing. We're just existing, and we're just going to go to a place, and, you know, we're not going to go to hell and all that. And my dad told me this, and it makes so much sense. He said that I would rather believe it and it be one than not believe it and not be one. So I tell people all the time, you know, when it comes to the point that you cannot find anything else to trust, who else you going to trust? The only person you can trust in this earth and in this time and in Jesus, not family, not children, he's the only one you can trust because all that stuff will fade. And in the end, he says it clearly, states this, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I say this, that if you got nothing else to hold on to Jesus. Hold on to that, because if you don't hold on to something else, you're going to fall for anything. You got to find that. You got to find that thing to hold on to. And I think the greatest key in this world is holding on to him, because I've been through that. You know, preacher's kid, you know, I'm a preacher's kid, you know, and I got to the point, I was kind of like that. I was like, well, God, you know, I was placed on this earth for a reason. You know, I was placed on this place for some purpose. And I've been with my mom and dad, ministering music for 18 years. I've been preaching and pastoring in the church. I'm like, God, I need testimonies for myself. And I went through a little bout in my life. I went through a bout for my life. And I went through some things. And I said, God, I want to be able to stand up when I preach and not make up nothing and say stuff. I want real testimonies. So God took me through a trying time. And everything I could possibly do, I tried to do. But I still ran back to him. I found out him to be my true source. And the thing about it is that most people are not serving him healthy. And I had to get healthy. You know, ministry became an obligation instead of ministry. And then when ministry becomes an obligation, then you're just doing it out of norm. But when it becomes a love and a relationship, that is the only way that you can make it. So I feel it, and I know it's true because I spend time with him. It's like a woman being buried to your wife or your husband for so many years. There has to be a relationship, and that's the way it is with him. Once you develop a relationship with him, you'll know. And when you don't have it, you'll know.
See, and that's what I'm talking about. See, I ask this question because it's like, you know, we have these artists, whether it be mainstream or independent or whatever, but they're on the rise. And you being an artist on the rise, people looking at you and they're like, well, so he doing his thing. He's straight. God done helped him. What about me? And for you to be transparent like that and to share, that's what we need. You know, we don't need that watered down gospel. We don't need that every time I turn around, it's all good. But you ain't not telling me nothing because you just talking out of what you just, you know what I mean? And
that's
for you
right.
to speak it. Keeping it that real, that transparency is what's really going to help people. And I'm thankful that you said that, that you shared that. Glory to God. I just need the praise break for a second. Say glory to God.
Yeah. Give all the praise. Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
That's what's up. But it'll continue because I'll get excited and we'll just go somewhere. We'll go left field.
I don't mean to preach, but I will.
So you just shared something real. Now we want to know, who is this guy with the three first names? Like, we never heard, we're going to pretend we never heard your music. We don't know nothing about you. You know, what's up with you? Who are you as an artist? What's going on? When did you start? What's up? Tell us something.
Well, I kind of gave you a brief history. You know, PK Kid, me and my father, we actually came to the city of Birmingham, Alabama, when I was 5 years old. And off the airplane, my dad started a church here, and he started, you know, ministry down here in the city of Birmingham, Alabama. So I've been here, of course. You know, I'm 41 now, so I've been here a long time. And I started doing music and stuff, you know, in high school, and I started doing things, and I was singing, you know, different talent shows, and, you know, getting the girls to scream, doing those different things, you know, getting that excitement, that performing bug, and love what you do. And you know how we go through those different trials, especially as a preacher's kid, you try to run so far from the call that you wind up still running to it. And I was on a bus one day, and I was on a bus, and an old lady turned to me, and she said, "Baby, you can run, but you can't hide." And we hear that statement all the time, but I didn't know what that meant, because what I was doing was I was singing on the bus, and I was just, you know how you be singing, and just like, you know, like a little Coke commercial, the guy was singing on the bus and all that, and I was just singing, you know, and the lady said, well, who, you know, you can sing, you sound good. You know, can you sing? And I was like, yeah, I can sing. You know, real cocky and we're arrogant. And she says, man, let me tell you something. I always say that people can tell you, that people tell you that. And that stuck with me. So from there, man, I started doing production, you know, for my sister and me and my two of my brothers and actually my brother-in-law, we formed a group called Righteous. And we would go around the city and sing. We was like the new edition of gospel then. I mean, we were dancing and stepping and doing all these type stuff. And then from there, it just kind of faded away. You know, I got married and stuff like that. So I started getting that, you know, solo bug. You know, started doing that. I was singing in church, being ministry music, leading out. And then I started writing and penning. And then I went from there. So I started getting divorced. And I went through the little thing like a lot of artists go through, man. We're trying to get that dollar. You know, we say we're not R&B and we're not secular, but we're still trying to get that dollar. And so God took me through a trying time. You know, I did the first, you know, I did a little album, just create stuff. And now I'm at this point now in my life that I truly, you know, to kill all of that is that I truly had to know that God for myself. I truly had to be this artist that was real and really about ministry and about the kingdom. You know, most of us seeking something, but it's not the kingdom. The Bible says, first you see God in his righteousness, all these things should be added to you. And my whole thing is about kingdom work, man, you know, changing lives and ministering to those who need change, you know, praying for the Jews. I mean, different things like that. I mean, I wanted to have real ministry, and God is really birthing something out of me, you know, a place of worship, a true place of worship. And that's kind of where I am now, you know, from the first album to now and working on the second one and the third one coming. You know, I really found a purpose. And once you find your purpose, music is not hard. When you're doing it for mammon, then you're going to get what you deserve. But when you start doing it for ministry and the kingdom, there'll be difference. There'll be change. There'll be newness because you begin to find a purpose. You know what I'm saying? So that's pretty much where I am. You know, John Mark Anthony is a minstrel. You know, a minstrel, a heartfelt minstrel who's not about the money, who's not about the money. You know, okay, I will take love offering, don't get it twisted. But I am sincerely, you know, about ministry. I don't let that be my guy. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've told people all the time, you know, we can't got to pay you. I said, well, just take care of my expenses. I'll get there.
Yeah.
You know, take care of my expenses, and I'll come and minister. You know, that's what it's about, you know, as long as I got somewhere to lay my head. And, you know, Matthew 6:25 said, don't worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you sleep, he'll provide. So that's kind of where I am. I am a truth artist, and I wanted to be a truthful artist. And I hadn't always been that way, but I'm that way now.
You blessing our souls.
Oh,
glory to God.
It's
genuine. It's that real, and I'm glad you shared this because, you know, we have a lot of artists that tuned in. I'm an artist myself. We have a lot of people that's listening, and you're touching a lot of people. And what I hear coming from you is how God had a lot of grace and mercy on you.
Yes.
So with that being said, you got a song called Grace and Mercy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
tell us about it as we get ready to go into the song.
The song Grace and Mercy, man, generally comes from, I had a brother who passed away in 2005. And in 2005, he passed away. He was a basketball player for a college down here, Miles College in Birmingham. We called him Big D. And the first project that I did was entitled Enough is Enough. We were in the studio. We were doing work for him, and we were doing music for him. And we didn't complete his project. We didn't complete it, man. And, that kind of, you know, it kind of hurt me that we didn't complete it. And when he died, we were at the hospital, and I was driving home. I was driving home to the hospital. You know, I'm the oldest son out of nine, and I'm the oldest son. So I'm not the oldest, but I'm the oldest son, so I might as well be the oldest. And I had to help everybody, hold everybody up, and you know, because they were going through some stuff. I mean, you know, my dad, my mom, and I was the first person to find out that he passed. And when I was driving home, and I just broke, man. I broke in the car because I couldn't break there because everybody was looking for me to hold him up. You know, I was in the car. I was driving home, took my brother's truck home, and I just broke on the inside. And this kind of where the song came from. I had a little tone tuned in my head, you know. And that's where it came from because I needed God's grace and mercy because I didn't understand why. You know, we business. That ain't supposed to happen to us. Ain't nobody going to die. This ain't been happening to us. And this song was so dear to my heart that it caused me because I stopped doing music, man. I really did because I thought I had something to do with it. And this song brought me back to what it is. It's God's grace and it's mercy. You're going through because you're going through. It's got to happen this way. But if you understand you got God's grace is sufficient, his mercy is everlasting, hey, you can deal with anything. And that's pretty much what it's birthed from, you know, grace and mercy. That's kept me. That's what it's kept me. It's your grace and your mercy, and it's nothing else. So, you know, that's pretty much where that came from.
Real talk. So,
yes, sir.
Everybody, y'all heard it firsthand from the man himself. About to go into his John Mark Anthony song, Grace and Mercy, on the Covenant Cafe.
Your grace and mercy. that said it was your grace, Jesus, that in my everyday life it was your grace. When I'm on this field of life, that you love me, I also found out I don't deserve all the things I've done. I am nothing, but you accepted me the way I am. Your grace is changing me.
I can be watching TV. It doesn't matter. I think it's about divine inspiration. You know, if I think if you have a gifting, your gift will make room. And if God can trust you with that gift, He'll give you. He'll give you those. He'll give you those songs. If you know the copyright, if you know to do things, then God will give to you. I say so many people say that God has used them and wants to be used by Him, but they don't take the proper process and allow Him to bless them. You know, most people don't understand that He gives you something. You still need to cover it and copyright it because you're leaving an inheritance not just for Him. Not just for God, but for your children and your family and the people who need to know Him. And if God can see that He can trust you with His kingdom business, if this song that He's giving you, then He'll keep pouring them into you. So my inspiration is, I think, is divine inspiration. It's, you know, nothing magical about it. You know, I don't got no candlelight and sit back in the bushes and nothing like that. I don't do nothing like that. It's just divine inspiration from God. If I hear it and it feels good to me and I remember it, then there it is. So, yes, sir.
And the thing I love, though, I'm going to cut you off, Lamont. I cut you off, Lamont.
No, you good. I just said that's some good stuff there.
True. The thing, you know what, the thing I love about, because everything you're saying is so real and it's so true and it's something, and the Lord has shown me, I love the fact that you back everything up with scripture. That's what's so powerful. Every time you're quoting scripture, and I'm like, yeah, he on point, because my Bible open right now. I'm like, oh, he on point. He right.
I'm
excited. I get excited. I meant to commend you from the jump, like as a man of God. You being a man of God, you know, it's always an honor to meet another man of God or a woman of God when they come on the show. But I commend, like, I'm excited to see that. You know how with Elijah, God told Elijah that he has prophets that haven't bowed. So I get excited when I see there's another man of God or another soldier on the battlefield.
Yes.
Holding it down, and I encourage you to keep going. My spirit is lit right now.
I appreciate that,
we got an interview to finish. We got an interview, so I'm gonna chill.
I appreciate
chill.
That. And
I'm excited.
Yeah, man, I gotta interject this, man. My father, when I first started writing, he told me, he said, everything that you sing, I don't care how you sing it, make sure it's backed by the word. You can change the words, you can flip it, you can drop it, whatever you want to do to it. Put bass on it, put sauce on it, make sure it's covered by the word. So that's how I write. People don't understand. They can open their Bible right now, and God will give them a song. He'll give them a song. If he can trust you with that song, he'll give it to you because the word is life. And the Bible says, watch this. It said the word is not of one interpretation. So if God gives many interpretations, that means that I can sing it in jazz, I can sing it in R&B, I can sing it in a gospel style, long as it's interpreting the word. And I think the problem that we fall into is that people get so stuck on the music that they forget all about. But watch this. When you're doing music, it's about planting seeds. And the problem is we're trying to do the watering, we're trying to do the growing, and that's not right. The Bible says one man planting, one man water, and God gives the increase. Just plant the seed.
Ooh.
I don't care what people say about it. Just, the seed don't talk back. It does not talk back. It's only waiting to be used. It's waiting to be used. And you got seeds, you got music, you got, I don't care if it's done in the basement. Get it into some, give it away. If you can't sell it, give it away. Because it's about planting seeds. And when you plant seeds, God has no choice. See, watch this. People always want things. They always want stuff. But if you're not about giving, what are you doing? What are you doing? Bishop Jake says this. What are you doing right now that you're not getting paid for? You always want to get paid, but what are you doing right now? And the only thing I can really think about is planting the seed, because that's what it's about. That's the first thing he said. One man planted, one man watered, and God gets an increase. Man, I don't mean to preach, man, but, you know,
the Holy Spirit got to have his way. He got to have his way. Oh, my God. All right. Let's do the interview. Okay, I'm tripping. All right.
Yeah.
So,
I apologize.
You know, don't you dare apologize for that. Don't you dare.
Yeah.
But what projects are you working on, events or anything that we have to look forward to in the near future?
Man, I think what I'm actually working on now, I'm actually working on two little, I call them giveaway projects. God has dropped a little love CD in my spirit that I want to do, but I want it really to be about, it's actually a love CD that we're going to do that I'm working with some guys on about that all the songs of love that has ministry involved in it, like they were real hits years ago, I'm kind of pulling those back. One of the cuts is Love by Kirk Franklin that he did with God's Property. That's one of the songs that I'm probably on there. So that's one of the projects. And then the latest one that's coming is the Many Moves of John Mark Anthony. That's okay. The one that I'm working toward now. It's going to have about 8 songs on there. It's kind of like where these 2 songs is coming from, Grace and Mercy, and here those are kind of the bass tracks off of it. And I got a big major thing that you guys got to be praying with me on it, a big praise and worship project that God has dropped in. A friend of mine, Spirit, Wes Bird, down here in Birmingham, in Atlanta, Georgia, and working with him on a big praise and worship project. It's going to be live, recording all that, man. And it's such a faith step that I'm just in the planning stage. But I feel like if it's a fan of God and get good people praying with me, it'll move to where it needs to move to. So
amen.
That's basically what I got
amen.
Going on right now. As you know, and just touching people's lives every day in the way I can. So that's my major project. And family. We
amen.
Can't forget about family. I got to talk about them. I know y'all probably asked me a family question, but we'll probably eventually get on that. So, yeah.
I can let Lamont handle that. This is my last question for you. My last question
okay.
is where can we find your information at? Where can we get your music? Where can we follow you? We can ask questions. Tell us all your sites, social sites, everything that we can keep in touch with you, sir.
Okay, I'm actually on Facebook, John Mark Anthony Music. I have 2 websites, johnmarkanthony.org and johnmarkanthony.com. They're down right now. We're doing some work on those. So where you can hit me up now is John at John Mark Anthony, of course, on Twitter. And then you can get me on Facebook. And if you can't find me anywhere, just Google my name. Just Google John Mark Anthony. Trust me, there's not out there like that. So at John Mark Anthony, Twitter. You can hit me right there, and then, of course, on Facebook, John Mark Anthony Music or John Mark Anthony. And those 2 sites should be up the first of the year, but I really pulled things back and really doing some restructuring and stuff like that. So just going into a phase of preparation, because, you got the phone number. You can call me here in Birmingham. I don't mind. My phone line's open, 205-253-1930. It don't matter. That's God's number right there, but when it's off, I'm with the family. So you know how they go.
I got you.
Yes, sir.
We got you with that. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sir.
That was my last question, Lamont. It's all on you.
Oh, no, I don't have any more. I mean, you covered everything, and we definitely appreciate you taking your time and calling in and spending some of that word that you have on your chest. That you want to spread
yes, sir.
To everyone.
Yes,
so
sir.
We're looking forward to having you back on our show soon, right?
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate you guys calling me, even reaching out, even asking me to even come. It's a wonderful thing. And we I appreciate, my family and my wife, and my children for just letting me come and do this, because today is kind of like family. We kind of take Sunday as a day of rest, because we feel like in the near future that God's going to do something real, big in my family. And we won't have Sundays like this. So, and of course, pretty much people probably know where I'm going with that. But and my wife is real, like, we need to really make this day sacred. Don't do nothing. Don't do no music. Don't do anything. And my wife, been married 20 years, man. I got children, got a son in Alabama State University, 2 daughters, grandson, 2 more boys. One plays the trumpet, one plays the viola, man, in the School of Fine Arts in Birmingham. So I got a lot of things, like you say, projects, man. We can go on all day with that. Those are my heart projects. I have things that I do for the world, but I also have things that I do for my home. So I minister in that manner as well. Just striving to be the best man, the best provider that I can possibly be, to leave an inheritance for my children, and leave an inheritance for the world. So, man, I consider this an honor and a privilege just to come before you guys, and for you to even, play my music. I appreciate that, because somebody here needed to hear it, So I appreciate that.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Thank you, and We'll be calling you.
Hey John, I'm definitely going to stay in touch with you through Twitter and whatnot, man. I definitely want to stay connected to you in some kind of way. So we got to stay in touch.
Facebook, MySpace, LinkedIn, all of you.
I'm everywhere.
I'm everywhere. Just Google John Mark Anthony. Everywhere. Yes, sir, man. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate the connection.
Definitely, before you go, we definitely got to call on my rowdy crowd right here.
Yes, sir. Somebody needs love, Jesus. Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, man. Man, it really made me feel good, man. It really does.
All right,
it's
we'll
wonderful,
talk.
Man. Okay.
All right.
All right, bro.
All right. God bless you guys.
God bless you, too.
Man, that guy is on fire. Yeah.
Yes. My spirit was jumping. It was hard for me to stay on track with the interview because he had me excited. Like that was a man of God, serious about it, and it was just powerful. The anointing was so powerful. I'm excited. I'm excited about his future and where God is taking him. I really am. Really am.
Definitely. Now, I want to actually get into a song, and then we'll come back. We'll hit our new segment. And this song right here is a little bit older song. A couple years ago, a guy named Jafire Life. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He has a song called All I Know. It's a pretty good song. I know my daughters really love it. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jafire Life here on the Covenant Cafe. Your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
All I know. If I've been here before, I know. Somebody's watching me, I know. It's very plain to see, I know.
Mama used to say I got me an angel. The hand is blessed, it was rocking my cradle. My joy is coming, man, if I stay faithful. Look at God, I'm about to sign with a label. I'm something like Dorothy on my pants. Not Kansas, Nashville, I'm home at last. Second home, that is. I'm from Philly for sure. And some of y'all know my past. I should have been gone, God is good. Definitely God is watching the hood. Ain't nothing changed, man, I'm still in the hood. If I could leave, man, I know that I would. Better know it. Look at life thinking he all that. Oh, you thought that I ain't peep all that. I'm calling God, man, till he called back. Von Dutch, just a beat my hat. You know my heart black.
I know, if I've been here before, I know. Somebody's watching me, I know.
Never been to places I've been. If you ain't never cried in your dreams, if you ain't never read the pages I've read, then you can never understand what I mean. I saw my mama cry tears of pain for me. Now I see her cry tears of joy. I done seen so many years of pain, homie. The sun does shine after the storm. Everybody cry after you gone, and everybody cry after you gone. I know a lot of folks feel my pain. I seen people cry when I perform. Cause pain is real, but heaven is real. I pray for all of y'all whenever I kneel. I know that they don't like the pleasure I feel, but I'ma write about whatever I feel. Cause
I know, if I've been here before, I know. Somebody's watching me, I know. It's very plain to see, I know.
Covering the pain in me. I'm calling God till he call me back. Why they still try changing me? Why they wanna lay me on my back? It's like that and it's plain to see. Can't far enough, I can't turn back. Better believe I know that he loves me. All I need is a little of that. Now bring it back.
I know, if I've been here before, I know. Somebody's watching me, I know. It's very plain to see, I know.
bring it back.
I know, and I've been here before. I know, nobody's watching me. I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back.
Hey, what was he saying during the hook? What was the hook saying?
All I know, as I've been
go ahead.
All I know, and I've been here before. Hey, you know, I'm not a singer.
I know. It was right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a song. I really love it. My daughters really love that song. It's a cool song, man. It's really dope.
It is.
Now, time for the news segment. Ladies and gentlemen, there is some crazy, 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 crazy things going around, going down. Not just going around, going down, going up.
Going down and up.
What do you have for us?
All right. So before we even get to the – I'm going to get the serious stuff out the way before we get to, like, the what are you talking about, Lace, stuff. Let's take it a serious stuff. So on a serious note, you know, in the Philippines, as of today, the Muslim rebels finally reached a peace deal. Now, if anybody has really been in tune with what's going on, for the last 15 years, there has been complete warfare between the rebels in the Philippines dealing with the Islamic area. There's been war, like 10,000, hundreds of thousands of people have been murdered. There has been no peace. There's been so much going on with this revolt. And they finally come across a deal. And the thing about this deal, I want to read it exactly as it is, quote. The president states, he says, this means that the hand that once held rifles will be put to using tiling land, selling produce, manning workstations, and opening doorways of opportunities for citizens, he said. They named it Bang Samoro. He said it because it deserves a name that symbolizes and honors the struggle of our forebears in Mindanao and celebrates the history and character of that took part of our nation. So just basically in short, like, I love to share the current events around the world so we can be in tune to what's going on. And it's really interesting how there's been a lot of movements between either in the Christian or in the Muslims. And I feel like this is going to play a huge role in the last days, just keeping your eyes out on what's going on with that. But that's something definitely that occurred. And also my last little serious thing that I want to share with you before we get into the nitty-gritty. Honda recalls 268,000 CRVs. And the thing about this recall, I'm really – because a lot of times we have – there's a recall, and, you know, people are like, well, I ain't worried about it. My car's running fine. Well, this is how serious it is. The thing about it, it's a problem with the power window, the master switch. It can start a fire, even if you're not in the car. The car doesn't even have to be running. They're saying that water can slip inside of it and just cause an instant reaction. And this happened to only 4 cars. Nobody's died yet or anything. Like, that's what it said, yet. No one's died, no problems yet, but it's happened with 4 cars, no injuries, no crashes. But the thing is, this is serious. So if you have a Honda CRV, take it back. And vehicles affected from are the models in the years between 2002 to 2006. So if you're in that category, you know, this ain't even a suggestion nor a recommendation. This is a commandment. Take it back. For real, I don't want to have to be pull up a story and it's about you when I'm like, man, this person died in the CRVS. Like, dang, like, that's not what's up. All right, now we got that out the way. Now here goes some stuff. Okay, the first thing I want to share with you guys on the news end is a surgeon grows a replacement ear for a cancer patient on her arm. So what happened was this lady, her name is Sherry Walter. She had cancer in the head, and it ate away her head, but it was on her ear. So they cut off her ear, boom. What they did from there, they took cartilage from her rib, and then they planted it in her arm, forming an ear. They let time grow as the blood vessels, they started filling up with cartridges, and all this stuff started, you know, building up. An ear was developing. Once it got to the full development, after 4 months, They removed all the skin around it. They cut it off, mm-hmm. and they attached it to her head, sewing it in. And they continued to construct the ear, shaping the earlobe and everything like that, forming an ear, forming it to complete ear status. And mind you, the thing was, she was completely blind from the cancer and everything. Not blind, completely deaf from the cancer. Now she has a new ear that she grew from her own body, that they grew from her body, and they connected it to, you know, like the ear canal, all the canals and stuff, so she can hear now. So she can hear, and her body won't reject the ear because her body, the ear grew from her own body. It wasn't like they got it from another person and surgically attached it. It grew from her body. So as I'm looking at this, I'm like, wow. Like, look how far we have came along. Like, there's so much breaking news and development as far as in medicine as well as technology, as well as, you know, knowledge and doing things. So definitely that, and continuing on as far as life and death and dealing with the body, a woman who won the right to die has changed her heart, and she stays on life support. So looking at the thing about this woman, she I didn't even know that we don't even have a choice when we want to die. I didn't know that. So this lady, she's paralyzed, and she has a brain tumor, and she's dealing with a serious illness. All this is going on with her. She's kind of like in that, you know, in limbo. She still has some kind of movement and some kind of knowledge of what's going on, but she's in a particular spot where she'd rather be dead than to live. So she wanted them to pull the cord because she's on life support. She wanted them to pull the cord. Her parents did not want her to do that, though. So, and her parents, being stable-minded, they had their right. So this young lady, because she's 28 years old, Sergeant Grace Grace, Sung Jin Grace Lee, she got a lawyer, and they fought. They was going back and forth to court about this. Then she finally wins because she was ready. She wanted to die. Their parents didn't want her to die because they felt, which they know is true, to commit suicide is to go to hell. So they felt that she, by pulling the cord and willingly knowing that you're pulling the cord, is committing suicide and she'll go to hell. So she won the court. She won the case. She's ready to go ahead and do what she does. Then she winds up getting a change of heart. Now she doesn't want to die because she wants to make peace with her family and her God. So I found that to be another interesting thing dealing with. It's a lot of things going on in health and spiritual, everything like that.
Exactly.
And my final news is just for you. Just for you, Lamont.
Wait.
And everybody.
Wait, before you get there, listen, I want everybody to listen to what Lace just said. She had a change of heart because she wanted to make peace with her God and her family. Ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very important that you make peace with your family. I mean, in life, you're going to have enemies. You're going to have people that's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to like you, whether they say it to your face or not. Okay? The thing here is, knowingly, if you know someone that you need to make peace with, you need to do that because when you're gone or when they're gone, it's too late. Now, and the reason why I say that, I know so many situations that if anything happens, that person is gone. You can't say, man, I'm sorry about what I said. I really didn't mean it that way. That's something you have to live with. Do you understand? The rest of your life. You don't have to live with it for a couple of weeks, not just a couple of days, a couple of months. You have to live with that for the rest of your life. Now, it's very important, especially if you really care for that person. I'm not saying that if you don't care for that person, don't make peace. But especially those who are, you got to see on a regular basis. I'm not knocking no one else, but understand what I'm saying. If you see this person on a regular basis, you need to say something. I don't care how old the situation is. You can always say, hey, you know what? I know this has been some years. It's been on my heart. I really want to get things together. I miss our relationship. Whether it's with your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your cousin, your best friend, your best female friend, whoever it is. You need to mend that because it's easy to forgive someone, but it's hard to forget what transpired.
Hmm.
And so with this young lady, she had went to court. She went to court, right? They gave her permission. And she had to change her heart because she thought about it.
Mm.
And she leaves this earth. Number one, that's committing suicide, number one sin.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you'll be leaving people behind that you left a mark on them in a negative way.
Mm.
You know, so like I said, if there's something if there's something that you knowingly did, you knew that you did this. If you didn't feel that you offended someone, that's different.
Yeah.
Because this is a disagreement. That person seen it that way, and then you saw it your way. That's different. But if you knowingly say, "Oh man, you know what? What I did right there was absolutely wrong. I really need to get that straight." Hey, take care of that.
Mm.
Take care of it. Because it's going to sit on you, man. It's going to sit.
Mm.
And it's not going to get better, especially when they're gone. What are you going to do? You go to the graveyard. Hey, man, you know, I'm really sorry about what. They're gone.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I'm mm-hmm. sorry. But I had to touch that because I think it's very important.
You had to. I'm listening to you. I'm mad that I almost danced past it. That is so true because, you know what, you said it. Never mind. that definitely is the truth. Wow. Something now that we're looking at this deeper, this would kind of trip me out. Now, I quoted it. I actually quoted a lot of stuff, what it said. And the thing it said, her God. In the article, lowercase g and everything. And it just that's what stood out so much to me.
Uh-huh.
About just looking how, because her God could have been our God, the Most High. That's who she could have been talking about because we have the same belief. If you commit suicide, you go to hell, straight up. Mm-hmm. So look how much the media respected that. It's little to none on a respect of, look, she changed her mind. The media is portraying her as a look this shifty minded person, you know, and she had da 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 da. But truthfully, this article is a blessing for her to her mind to shift and to be like, you know what, you know, I got to get right with God because I do want to enter heaven's gate because I'm not worried about this life. This life here is over. I got a new life I need to prepare for. And then two, especially my family still is going to be here. And for them to take time out to stop me, to even want to take me to court so that my soul don't go to hell, I need to get peace with them. I need justice in my family. I need to be a righteous person on my last days of earth. So that I almost danced past how deep this is because of how the article was written. It was just written in some sense of like, okay, this lady, this and that, da-da-da. She don't know what she's talking about, but she wanted to get right with her God and her family. Like, that's it. And I'm like, wow, like, our God she's trying to get right with.
Mm-hmm.
She's preparing for the next level of life, for the real life, the permanent life.
Mm.
And that's deep. And, you know, I'm glad God used you just now to intervene on my dancing because I danced right past that, right into the next segment. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's what's up. I'm glad you did that.
No problem. So,
but anyway, so to close out this news, the current events, I got something for you. Now, we're always talking about Detroit Lions, Detroit this, Detroit this, Detroit 8 Mile. We've had a lot of guests from Detroit, everything. Crazy, right? So I'm learning that Detroit is you can't, it ain't a joke. It ain't a joke. Now, I went to school in Ohio, and I met a lot of people from Detroit when I was up there. And, you know, people used to tell me how I used to go down, this and that. We talk about 8 Mile, all that kind of crazy stuff, like real funny stuff. But at the same time, they was telling me how real it is out there. And I'm like, you know, I believe, I respect G. The police decided to tell everybody how real it is in Detroit. So the police, they released a flyer. 400 off-duty officers sent out a flyer to fans saying, enter Detroit at your own risk. And the thing is, the sheriff said, we don't have a problem with Detroit. We don't hate Detroit or nothing. We're just letting you know it's dangerous down here. His is that where it said, we're not discouraging people from coming. I love the city. I want them to realize we don't have enough man hours. I don't think the city is going to get the same officer 8 hours a day as you do a 12-hour day. So the whole thing is like the crime, everything, you from being from Detroit, you know how real it is.
Yeah.
And from what they're saying is it got realer from what you're saying. It's that real to where police officers are like, hey, like, y'all come. Yeah, because it was Detroit Tigers game. And they won, of course. It ain't no telling what might happen after this game if they lose. So I'm just letting you know, come here at your own risk. If you come, it's on you.
Even if they win, be careful.
Yeah, even if they win. Because they said that after the game. It's like, all right, y'all still be careful out here. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You gonna catch the Jaguar game.
Mm-mm. Hey, it gets kind of crazy. I'm not gonna tell you, but it gets kind of crazy. It gets real on the field.
Check this out. I met this guy, right? Now, this always been funny to me, but now that I'm older, it's not really that funny, but it's still funny. I met this guy. This is my first time meeting him. I was, I had to be about 20 years old, about 20, 18 years old, somewhere in there. And I've always grown up like this. When you first meet somebody, it's certain things you don't tell a person on the first day you meet them, because that's going to dictate your relationship from there on out. Like, example, like if you would have, like, say our first show together, and if you would have been like on some, when I was younger, man, I used to, not when I was younger. If you would have just told me, like, you know what, man, from time to time I eat boogers. I just, I'm like, what? Why'd you tell me that now? Like, let me get to know you so we can deal with this later kind of situation. So anyway, this guy, he's in the military. Well, he was in the military, and he was a real boastful, real arrogant guy. Now, we was at the court. That's when I was working out for school and everything. So we was at the gym, at the Navy, working out at the base. And we step aside, me and two other guys, and this one guy in particular, I don't remember his name anymore. He's like, yeah, man, I got money, this and that, man. I had went to Detroit. I get to Detroit, man. I had pulled up. I had the Lex, and, man, I had my heater under the seat, man. I got out of the car. Man, the dude then hit me and stole my car and then took out my jewelry and stripped me and left me. And I was like, now he said this happened on his first hour in Detroit. He just got to Detroit in the daytime, right? So when I was young, when I heard it, I was like, bro, why would you say, you could have like told me this like a week from now, like when I got to know you. But now I'm in my mind, you're a punk. Anyway, I remember this whole story just because it is dangerous in Detroit. And you better be strapped with the Holy Spirit everywhere you go, especially Detroit.
Exactly. You know what? I'm not going to even go there. You know what? Before we get into the weird news, I'm not going to even touch that one. We definitely got to pay our bills, so I'm going to go to commercial break, and we're going to come back with some very interesting news. Very interesting news. And there's the segue, just to let you know, we're going to be talking about after the commercial break, this gentleman who got busted for allegedly possessing marijuana twice in 1 hour.
What?
And the other story, a man allegedly attacks his wife with a sandwich, gets jail time.
What are you talking about? I didn't mean to laugh because I didn't hear you correctly. He said what?
We're going to talk about this man who attacked his wife with a sandwich.
God.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and pay our bills, and we'll be right back. This is the Covenant Cafe, your host, Amon Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Attention all shoonistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
First, we're going to be talking about some weird news that's going down here in America. This guy, Hassan Ali, he was busted for alleged marijuana possession twice in 1 hour. This guy, he's a Vermont man. He got smoked when he allegedly decided to light up after getting summons for marijuana possession. Williston police say they. Hassan Ali was arrested, decided, and released on Saturday when they found him and two other people with weed in an apartment building. But it was the last time he'd been handcuffed that same night. The investigation began with Terrellan Cooper, which is 21 years old, who cops were looking for in connection to a $28,000 jewelry theft and a felony warrant. Officers went to her apartment and called her, issued a citation to Ali and a third woman in the apartment alone. But back at the police station, cops realized that the third woman, Amanda Bevan, also had a warrant out for arrest.
Oh.
Now, when the cops returned to arrest Bevan, guess who they found? They found Ali, who bought more marijuana during the hour that they were gone.
Mm.
So they were able to identify the smell of marijuana that led them yet to another investigation. Ali was arrested again and taken to jail. How you get sober twice in 1 hour for the same crime?
Oh, my. It's too much. It's too much because... Look how, but the thing about it is, that just lets you know, like, you're going to reap what you sow. And everybody got caught up. I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
Because you got people who, look at that, birds of a feather hang together. So look at the company, you got to watch the company you keep. Because even, like, example, now I'm not condoning nothing, but all I'm saying is, if you are on the run, why would you hang with somebody who just got out and you know can go back in? Why are you hanging with people who are likely to go to jail if you don't want to be caught up?
Exactly.
This is ridiculous. And I'm looking at this chain of events. Because God is a righteous God. So everybody got caught up. And so you think you got away with something, it's really setting something up for a bigger fall.
Exactly.
This clown gets arrested. Man, it is what it is. That's what he get. That's what I got to say. That's it. That's all I got to say. That's what he get.
Exactly. Now, check this out. Larry Sperling of Nebraska. This 50-year-old Nebraska man has been accused of attacking his wife with a sandwich. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I did say... He was arrested late Sunday last week, okay, for disturbing the peace after he pushed his wife down and rubbed a sandwich in her face. The woman told deputies that Sperling had become irate for making him live in the country, in the county, I apologize, and being bored since there is no place for him to walk. She said that the argument went on for some time, during which Sperling drank 3 24-ounce cans of Natty Daddy, a malt liquor with 8% alcohol content. The woman told deputies that she got tired of the argument and made herself a sandwich and went to the bedroom. According to the arrest affidavit, Sperling followed his wife, pushed her onto the bed, and assaulted her with the sandwich. Now, the Scotts Bluff Star Herald notes that while the court documents don't detail the ingredients of the sandwich, as if that was important, a deputy. I don't know how that was important unless the sandwich was a club sandwich and it had two in it.
Did they really write that in the article? That's what I'm tripping about.
Exactly.
Oh, continue.
Now, the deputy found several pieces of lunch meat on the carpet outside the early bedroom and some pieces of the sandwich bread inside the bedroom.
Oh, my goodness.
Sperling's wife allegedly also got mayonnaise on her face and shirt, as well as in her hair. By the time deputies arrived, Sperling had reportedly left the scene. He was found lying face down on grass about 10 feet from the house. He also appeared in court and pleaded no contest to disturbing the peace. He was sentenced to 5 days in jail.
How many days in jail?
Five,
okay.
Now, how do you tell people in a county jail, what you in for, man? Somebody say drunk driving. What you in for? I robbed the bank, 7-Eleven. What you in for? I mugged my wife in the face with a sandwich. You got beef? You got beef with me? No pun intended.
That's, You got beef.
Hold on one second, we have a caller. Caller line one, you're on the air with Covenant Cafe, your host Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
Hi, I'm just listening.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's an accidental one button pusher.
Oh, that's okay. It's absolutely wonderful.
I didn't press one.
Huh?
I didn't press one.
Oh.
Okay. No, it's okay. It's okay. Where are you calling from?
California.
California. We do appreciate you calling in from California, okay?
Thanks.
All righty. Now, ladies and gentlemen, now to my last story.
Well, before you even move, I know we're in a rush, but how do you go on after that? Like, as a man in your marriage, like, I rubbed you in the face with a sandwich. Now, mind you, I don't condone his actions one bit. But now I'm looking at this like, okay, he's out of jail. They're still married. Like, you're looking at your wife like, dang, it's because of you I'm in jail. I went to jail for 5 days. But at the same time, you rubbed me in the face with a sandwich. I thought you were going to kill me. Like, where do you move from here?
You know what? You move from just a sandwich to a sub, maybe. I don't know.
All right, just go. Next topic, man.
I don't know. She will be nervous. Every time this man makes a sandwich, she's going to get nervous.
Let me tell you, a sub, I think he would have got bigger time if it was a sub. I think he would have did like 20 days. Because a sub is like it's a club. It's a weapon. Continue.
So I'm going to just tell this lady, hey, every time this guy makes a sandwich, make sure it's just something like peanut butter jelly. Yeah, something real simple that you won't get lettuce in the face.
Peanut butter is hard to get out your eye socket. That's all I'm saying.
Now, check this out. this lady is accused of breaking in a Sacramento home to take a shower. She broke in a home to take a shower. Check this out. If only her getaway had been as clean as she was, Jennifer Burton had just gotten out of the shower when police picked her up. Unfortunately, it wasn't her shower. Randy Kaiser, a Sacramento homeowner, had no clue how the 24-year-old Burgess got into his house or why she was wearing his son's robe.
Oh, my God.
Burgess even answered Kaiser's door with her hair wet, according to KOSR-TV. Burgess tried to explain that she thought the house was abandoned. So she goes, can I go change? Kaiser told the station. And I go, yeah, you can. He stayed outside, lest her had company, she said. Now check this out. Kaiser then asked Burgess if she was homeless, and she said she was.
Understood.
He also asked her if she had been at the house before, but she did deny that. However, Kaiser is skeptical since Burgess seemed to move about the home like she'd been there before.
Yeah.
One of the dogs laying on the floor here, and this is the dog that jumped on everyone, he said. The dogs weren't, check this out, alarmed by her presence.
Oh, my goodness. She's been there before.
Yes. Deputies arrived on the scene to arrest Burgess. They said that she had not only planned to walk away with every spare key in the house, she had also stolen $46 in cash. That had been in the children's piggy bank. Poor lady. The Daily Mail reported Burgess was arrested on suspicion of felony burglary, and she was booked into Sacramento County main jail. She's being held in lieu of $50,000 bond.
Now she got a place to stay.
Now she has a place to stay. Not only that, I'm going to tell you this, and we're going to have to get into Poetic Corner. You know what? Poetic Corner, because we're running out of time here. We got about 20 minutes left. But I feel sorry for this young lady on all aspects, all levels. But you get, I'm going to tell you what she's going to get. You get this. You get that for stealing the money for the kids' piggy bank.
Yes, that's, for real, for real.
That, you know what? How do you do that? That's, I mean, the dog wasn't even alarmed. The dog wasn't even surprised that he saw her.
She's been there chilling before. Chilling.
She's been here before. Now, you know, normally we do an intro to the poetic spot. And due to our time constraints, we're not going to do the intro. So what we're going to do is just, Lace has something for us special. And then we're going to go into one of his songs. And then we're going to come back out. And we're going to close the show out.
Sounds good.
Now, Lace, what do you have for us today?
So today, what I have is something that God showed me a year ago around this time. Going into the holiday season, you know, we get caught up. We get caught up with, you know, I got to get this, and I need to be with somebody, and da-da-da-da. And the Lord, he put a vision before my eyes, and he showed me a meeting. And in this meeting, I saw what mankind has really did to the holidays, and it's not as God intended it. So I want to share it with y'all. And I wrote it as I saw it, and that's how it went. It wasn't even premeditated. I just wrote it as I saw the vision. And this is called The Meeting. All right. I had a vision that I saw Satan at the head of a table. All his demons were there. Listen, this ain't a fable. I saw Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. In the middle of the table was a stack of money. Jack-o'-lantern was laughing while Cupid was painting some condoms. I saw that April Fool's too. He's such a prima donna. There were so many there, I can't name them all. and then they were having fun. I'm talking such a ball. Then Satan spoke, and it got real quiet. He began to tell his plan, and the demons were ready to riot. He said, Santa Claus, what's the plan now? Claus said he put an X on Christ. Now it's Xmas now. They're going to rejoice in the gifts instead of who Christ is. It's going to be real funny because they don't know that he still lives. The Easter Bunny said, I have a similar plan. I'm going to give them candy and suits so they'll forget what Christ did as a man. Then Satan said, yes, these are great ideas. Then Jack-O-Lantern said, wait, save your cheers. I'm going to turn a holy day into a praising of evil. You know, dress up like witches and warlocks. Oh, yeah, and you, the devil. Cupid couldn't wait and said, I'm going to share the love. I mean, lust. I'm going to pass out these genital gloves. And those who are ugly, I'm going to make them feel oh so lonely. Make them feel jealous by a love that's oh so phony. Then all the demons got excited and began to spit their plans. And Satan just sat back smiling because he knew many of them would stand.
Wow.
And that's really the truth about it. If you really pay attention, like they put an X, it's called Christmas, but now it's called Xmas. People are calling it Xmas. You X out Christ's name. Let's focus on getting money. Let's focus on gifts. Let's focus on what I'm going to receive.
Mm.
Boom. Cupid. All that.
Even worse than that.
Yeah.
That most places are saying it's just the holiday season.
The holiday season. And after God showed me that, I did a lot of research on everybody, on Jack-O-Lantern, on Cupid. Cupid is actually supposed to be the god of love. Now, mind you, God is a jealous God. He said, put no gods before me. Don't even praise them. Don't even recognize them. Cupid being supposed to be the god of love or whatever. And his whole thing is lust. It's all about lust. So now you got people focusing on, oh, I need to get a Valentine. I need this and that. Nobody loves me because I didn't get no flowers, candy, da-da-da. And Jesus standing there like, dang, I've been loved you. I died for you. What you mean you need candy to know that you loved? You need flowers to know you love. I've been loved you. I died for you. It's, man, we're getting pimped. Now, there's nothing wrong with enjoying. You're supposed to enjoy every day. We enjoy every day. Cool. That's what's up. But to make one day greater than the other, even the Bible said don't make no day greater than the other day. So it's like, what you mean? You losing your hair because you can't get your kids Christmas gifts? You want to commit suicide because you can't afford a gift this year?
You know,
come on now.
And that happens every year.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what? That's pretty interesting. That's pretty deep, man. Really, really deep. Now, it's kind of hard to make that transition.
Oh, it's actually a good transition. Because the whole point of this song that we're going into assassination, and assassination straight up is telling you what I'm going to die for and what I'm standing for. And I'm against all that nonsense that they're selling y'all, straight up. So, and the assassination is actually, it's another vision that I had. God gave me a preview of my death, and I wrote the song as I saw it. Like, I'm going to stand for something because I'm not going to just die for anything. So we can go into that.
Here it is, Floyd Lace, Assassination.
This just in, down in Jacksonville, Florida, there's been a shooting at the God First Election. Alleged victim, 23-year-old Floyd Lace, was shot at multiple times. Witness say they don't know where the shots came from, but they think Poetic knew this was going to happen. His message wasn't, I have a dream, but of equal importance. Oh, it's you.
It's war time. I got my mind on the fight, and I'm fighting blind. I'm using faith as my leverage. I don't need deny. Listen as the guns ring. It's time for change. I would die for the Christ you can maintain. There goes my death with some bullets and cracks. All of them flying fast, straight ripping my chest. They want my head. I give them war instead. Christ bled, so I ain't making my bed. I'ma fight for everything that's right. So I reach to my left for my weapon made for test. But first, let's get back to my murderous death. As I lay with blood dripping from my mouth, I repent for my sins, so I wind up down south. The bullets came cause it's God first I seen. If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. Assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what's war. So I can fight to the death
left, leave nothing left. If it's a game, I retire as a rap nation. I would die for the Lord, we at one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what it's for. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If it's a game, I retire as a rap. They shot at me, they murdered me, man, I can't see. Ski mask on top of the power, busting in the sleeve. Was it the way I walk, or the way I talk? I think it's low, cause I'm the one to blame with y'all. Before I die, they ask me where my heart lies. It's kind of funny cause they don't want it televised. I'm listening to these rappers and they got to tell it lies. I guess anything just to be a capitalized. I ain't decided to do the criticize. But it's the lyrics doing the paralyzed. They say they trapping but they actually in the booth. In the streets they not there like I'm missing too. Lies in the same and it's a prophesied. Say anything just for a career rise. Kids imitating rappers cause it sounds good. But it's really dropping lies like I actually would. Assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what's sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If it's a game, I retire. It's a assassination. I would die for the Lord, we at one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what it's for. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If it's a game, I retire as a rep. I shed a tear, I'm in a better place. I fought the good fight, my life wasn't waste. I kept running, I stopped, got in any race. The Trinity blessed me, evil for the glace. Every time I heard a gunshot, I thought about how a life stops. Physically, spiritually, or mentally. We're all slaves, this is mine, hypothetically. Worried about the way you look, the way you dress. Just to have another human impressed. So stressed for what? You're so blessed. Complaining so much, I wonder how you get rest. Before I died, I kept my Bible on me, cotton ready. But some scriptures that the devil chopping like confetti. I knew I'd die because the words that I spit. But before the flat line, I sent minutes to the pit. Assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what's sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire. It's assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what's sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire. It's a rap.
More on the story at 11.
Wow. That was assassination. Here. Wow.
True story.
Here it is. And you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, one thing I do want to address, I wanted to address a couple of things that was either the most recent presidential debate or the NFL scores. And I'm going to talk about something that's more important between the two, between the debate and the NFL scores. I have to go with the scores because that is most important.
I knew you was going to do that.
It's most important, ladies and gentlemen, because that debate was a debacle.
I knew you was going to do that.
But, however, I will bypass the scores this week because our nation is most important, although I love my football. But, however, now, there are a lot of speculation, like who won the debate, whether President Obama won the debate, whether Mitt Romney won the debate. In my opinion, both of them, I think, is a draw. Because number one, last time, well, his name was just Obama last time because he wasn't a president. He had more time to focus on the debate itself. He'd have no major responsibilities as the responsibilities that he have during this debate.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point exactly that I'm going to make because dealing with debates, you have to be focused. Nothing on your plate. Me personally, that's just my opinion. Not to say that Mitt Romney has nothing to do. He's a businessman, governor, all that. But however, the way that the debate was handled, the moderator didn't do his job correctly. Mitt, he came across, he was trying to make his point, but however, he was he was just over talking the moderator as well as President Obama. On the other hand, Obama didn't stand up for what he should have been standing up to. talking about the bailout. A lot of stuff that he could have discussed, he didn't discuss, that should have been swinging his way. So it kind of looked like he was on the weak end of the stick.
Mm.
Now, however, at the same time, he is the president. So he has a lot of things on his plate, a lot of stuff that's going on across seas, and there are a lot of things that we don't know about as, you know, the society, you know, as, you know, Americans. So I think it was a draw. I can't say President Obama totally won this one. I can't say Mitt absolutely won this one because he didn't really address the issues that he should be addressing as far as Mitt Romney.
Mm.
You know, whatever his platform was, I didn't get it because he was so busy dogging what President did, you know, the president has not done.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't really, I didn't see anything, any progress in this one.
Mm.
So what will be interesting is the very next one that they have. I'm not sure exactly when that next one is, but I know the next debate, the vice president one, will be this week. So we have this gentleman, Paul Ryan, who no one knew about. I know personally when he was selected, I had to go on YouTube to find out who this guy was. And then you have, you know, Vice President Biden. So we have to keep our eyes on what's going on because this is very important. I really believe this election is very important because there are some things that Mitt has on the plate. His platform is not good at all. And there are some things that Obama needs to get, you know, put in place.
Mm.
Now, to all my Americans, I have to say this. Whether you voted for President Obama or not, everyone knows you cannot change an economy, a country overnight. It takes more than 4 years.
Mm.
And everybody is dogging this guy for saying, oh, you didn't accomplish everything when he was in office. We can't vote for him. Really, I don't care if it was a Republican that got into office or an independent that got into office, whoever. You can't change the country in 4 years.
Mm.
There is bills that has been set in place by previous presidents that has to run its course before it could be eliminated.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I think, in my opinion, he should get another chance because that would give him a total of 8 years in office. There should be some changes, hopefully. Hopefully. Because I guarantee, if Mitt Romney gets in office, I'm not trying to be slanted, there will be changes that you may not like.
Mm.
So one of my Facebook status I put on my Facebook, I said, look, get out and vote for whoever candidate it may be. Maybe it may be Mitt, it may be an independent person that might be on there, and it may be President Obama. Whoever it is, get out and vote. Because if you don't like the outcome, I don't have time for the whining unless it comes from grace.
Mm.
Because if you're not voting, you can't complain.
Mm.
Okay? So, now, there are people who, hey, I don't want to take part in this election. I'm not a person that votes. Okay, I understand that. I understand that, you know, because there was a period of time where I didn't vote. But I had to change, you know, because I'm like, yo, I need to complain, but I can't complain if I'm not voting. You know what I mean?
You said that. Like, I need to complain, but I can't complain because I ain't voting.
I need to be able to say something like, hey, man, this guy is doing wrong. Well, how am I going to say that if I didn't vote?
That's real. That is real.
You see what I'm saying? If I don't put a vote in, you know, if I don't say, okay, say like whoever I voted for the last election. Okay. I can't, if I didn't vote, I can't say, hey, President Obama, man, whatever he's doing, man, he sucks. No, I can't say that if I didn't vote. I just had to take it like a champ, whoever is in office.
True.
People died for us to vote. So get out there, vote. You know, vote. Like I said, if you want to vote for Mitt Romney, vote for him. If you're going to vote for President Obama, vote for him. If you're not going to vote for neither one, don't say anything. That is my piece on this debate. And they got the moderator before you give us the word of the week, man. Let me tell you, Mr. Moderator, I forgot your name. Anyone, did you watch the debate?
I didn't get to catch it, but I'm definitely going to YouTube it.
This guy, he couldn't handle 2-3-year-olds
debating
over spilled milk. No. It was horrible, man. But anyway, but ladies and gentlemen, pay close attention to the national election as well as your local election. Because your local level is where it happens. So get out there and vote for your mayor, whoever your mayor is. Get out there and make sure you vote for he or she. Because the local level helps the national level, okay? So don't say, hey, I'm not voting locally, but I'm going to vote nationally. I've been there too, so I'm just letting you know. I'm not saying something I'm not saying something that I've never done because I was in that boat. I didn't vote locally. I didn't vote nationally. You know what I mean? I was one of those guys. I'm just being honest.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm one of those guys that say, hey, you need to get out and vote because I know from experience that, sitting back and watching things is crazy. So get out and vote. Rock the vote. Whoever you're going to vote for, Republican, Democrat, or Independent, do your thing. Just make sure you get out there and vote. There you have it.
It's good stuff.
It's all on you.
that's good stuff. I definitely need to check it out. I just haven't had time. And I was thinking about it too, like before the show. Like, man, I really want to see the debate and get it watched today. But I know I ain't going to watch it tonight, though. But good stuff. Wait. This has got to be our new punchline, though, for us. He said, man, I really want to complain, but I can't complain because I didn't vote. Like, all right, I'm killing too much time, though. Like,
it's true.
It is.
Complain, man. If you didn't put your vote in, what you complaining for? That's just like us owning a pizza, right?
Uh-huh.
You and I own a pizza. And I said, okay, the pizza costs $20, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you say, okay, Lamont, I got it. And I'm like, man, I ain't got no money. Okay. You order pizza and you just order, let's say, pepperoni and chicken.
Pepperoni
and chicken, whatever. Okay. And it comes to the house. And then I say, man, why you put chicken on there? You talking for? You didn't put in on this pizza.
You didn't put in on this, man.
You didn't put in on this pizza. Just take the chicken off and eat it the way you want to eat it. You know what I mean? And that's the same thing about voting.
Yes.
That is pizza. The candidates is the pepperoni, and the candidates is the chicken. Hey, if you don't like it, hey, you just gotta take. Hey. If you don't make that vote, just take it the way it comes.
Take it how it comes.
So that pizza come through that door with chicken and pepperoni and cheese, if you don't like it, hey, just take out whatever you have on there and just keep moving. Because you ain't putting in on the pizza.
All right, to close out for the week, we're reading from 1 Peter 5:5-7. Chapter 5, verse 5 through 7. And it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. So, and just a quick summary, since I can't really eat it up the way I want to, quickly, young people, you know, submit to your elders. You know, respect your elders. Honor them. Have respect. That's the whole thing about today. We're talking about submissive, being submissive, honoring, respect. But it also says, yes, all of you submit to one another. So that's also the elders to the young people. You know, it's a submissive spirit as far as being understanding that I don't know everything, but you may know something that can help me. And vice versa, I might know something that can help you that you don't know. And mm-hmm. totally the whole thing about it is when you are submissive like that, you are humbling yourself. So if you are humbling yourself, you are allowing God to exalt you. Because remember, God is the only God, and he's a jealous God. So as soon as you become your own God and you have all the knowledge and you have the wisdom, God will humble you. And that's definitely not what you want. So, and also, final thing, throughout this week, remember to cast your cares upon the Lord, for the Lord loves you and he cares for you.
And that's
outro.
It. You know what? We're not going to go into the outro. I'm going to just tell you this. I have 40 seconds to reiterate. Pay attention to your election because, hey, the end of times is coming. And that's no lie. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. And at the end of the day, President Obama is a politician. At the end of the day, Mitt Romney is a politician. They're going to do what's necessary to keep themselves in office. No matter what. You're going to say, oh, I'm going to vote for the black candidate. Hey, well, I got 5 seconds, but we're going to talk about this later. Y'all have a good night. Coming to Cafe, your host, Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.